gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Well, you raise an interesting point. This is kind of something that's been going on, especially since the start of the year. This connects to the QAnon and to the YouTube stuff. There's been a real crackdown on conspiracy stuff. Really, mostly a lot of the QAnon, a lot of the assertions that I don't believe that the election was rigged. And the vaccine stuff. So like you said, you got a strike for talking about that. So has the Flat Earth movement been impacted by this crackdown on social media as far as conspiracy theories go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Beforehand, Flat Earth was – in fact, you want to see an interesting documentary, watch something called The Social Dilemma, where they're talking about how the social media monster – was created, and we're mentioned in there multiple times because we were YouTube's darling for a number of years. And when they went to – there was a special Senate hearing, and out of all the three top – they picked three topics to talk about. Two, they banned. One, you can't talk about fake medicines. Two, you can't talk about false flags, incapacity. Those things will get banned off the internet. And they said, we will recommend Flat Earth less. And then when the censorship really started cranking up, because Flat Earthers because they come from the conspiracy world, they're notorious for kind of breaking out and doing other videos, me included last year.
We've done that tonight, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about Flat Earth, and then I'll make a video that's not about Flat Earth, about some other conspiracy. And they want us basically to stay in our wheelhouse. Channels have been hit pretty hard for going outside. Some people have created backup channels and stuff. And again, I was pretty squeaky clean, but I'd made 20, 30 different videos talking about what was been going on in 2020, and it really wasn't until I started talking about the shot. And then they said, "Nope, sorry." And their message in the email to me was, "You cannot contradict the WHO in any way, shape, or form." It's like, all right, I get it, fine. I don't want to use the term roped in, but we're being told the thing is there's so
stay
many
stay in your lane. They're telling you,
yeah, stay in your lane. There's so many different venues now to go, but there's still there's still only one YouTube. I'm a little surprised nobody huge has come out to challenge them, but it's like all it takes is a whole bunch of money and a bunch of servers, but they haven't done it. I mean, remember MySpace used to be a thing. And then Facebook came out. But the thing is, it's the corporate angle, where you probably heard of something on YouTube called the Adpocalypse a few years ago, where corporations said, look, you can't put our truck commercials and our whatever commercials on just any video because some of it is inappropriate and we don't like certain things. And YouTube's like,
right.
Hey, we're YouTube. What are you going to do? Pull your account? And they did. And YouTube had to come back. It's like they had to negotiate. It's like, okay, and that's when the first wave of censorship happened. And again, I've got mixed feelings because it's a private company, and if you want to treat it like a restaurant where it's like no shirt, no shoes, no service, that is your right. And also, they were recommending us so much over the 3 years, we were starting to annoy the hell out of people because we were getting recommended. There's a great line by one of the developers who left Google, and he said, why do things get recommended to us on the right-hand side? Recommended for you.
Right.
And I don't know how many tens of thousands of topics there are on YouTube, but there's a lot. He picked one, and he said, well, if the average person that gets into Flat Earth for the first time watches 20 videos in a row, what do you think we're going to recommend? And it's like, yeah, it was it. And it's like, yeah, we were the binge topic that was out there to where, I don't know if you remember me telling you back in Dallas, where they, I'm going to do a video on this kind of to recap it. I mean, I still have a playlist where they tore down their own scoreboard because of us, where we exploited an algorithm in their system to where we were showing numbers that made sense, whereas giant channels, like all of a sudden you run into a channel, it's like, oh, wow, they have 2 million subscribers. But when you look at the relevant search results, they only had, I don't know, 80,000, 100,000 search results. It's like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Well, it's because they were buying subs, and they were buying likes, and they were buying hits, and you can do that. There's a wonderful documentary that came out this year called Fake Famous. Highly encourage people to watch it, where they took people, a documentary team, took a bunch of Hollywood wannabes, and it's like, can we make these people famous in 6 months on the internet? And it turns out they can. And
I'll check that out.
It's really something. But anyway, we exploited this algorithm to where we had, for example, all of our content creators back when this all happened, when this started cranking up. I think maybe we had 500,000 subs between all of us, Jaron and me and Bob and Eric DeBay and all those guys, maybe 500,000 tops. And we were tracking at way multiples up. We started at like 7 million, and we ended up in the summer of 18 at 20.9 million, which had just passed President Trump. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody writes me and goes, yeah, scoreboard's gone. I go, what are you talking about? I go, they stunt our numbers again? I go, the filter's not working? They go, no. Relevant search results does not show a number anymore. I go, for us? And I go, for anyone, for all topics. It's like, oh, no. So, yeah, it was that was when things – in fact, the video I'm going to make, I'll release in a week or so. It's going to be called When Flat Earth Changed Social Media Forever, because we showed how – again, if you get a chance, watch Fake Famous. It shows the illusion that social media is. We always knew that anyway. You know, even going back to Facebook, you know, there's all these people on Facebook, you know, the Facebook pages, oh, such happy, wonderful people. It's like, oh, no, he actually killed his family like 2 months ago. We know that by Facebook, though.
Anyway. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting flaw. I was thinking about the social media. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I noticed down in Dallas, too, was that you know, in a lot of these different communities, it's like podcasting is like the big thing. But with Flat Earth, it was like they're really into YouTube. Like that was their thing.
Yeah.
Like everybody I talked to was like giving me little flyers or whatever for their YouTube channel. And it's like I don't know. I'm just from a different – I mean, you and I are probably relatively around the same age. But I guess you're more of a technophile early adopter or something, because it's like to me – it's like I just never got into watching shit on YouTube. To me, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just old school.
Well,
I'll just put on TV and watch TV.
No, it's fine. I didn't get in. Well, yeah, I mean, I did do tech support for a number of years, but for me, I had a YouTube channel since 2007, I think, but I didn't build any videos. Now, most people when they are on there, you know, they've got, if you're under a certain age, yeah, you've built some stupid videos, but. That was the place to go to. It's kind of like eBay in that, you know, if you want to sell some weird stuff, you sold it or bought it on eBay.
Right,
and
right.
Facebook, you posted some stuff, but everything else was really, really limited. And when I made my first videos in 2015, I didn't know anything about video editing at all. I used a free Windows Live Movie Maker from Microsoft and made the stuff, and, you know, it was rough. At best, but if the topic resonates, the topic resonates. And I just got very fortunate. I was in the right place at the right time. But yeah, everybody, they just really, if a picture is worth a thousand words, then YouTube seems like a natural place to start creating stuff. And in our community, people got so enthusiastic when they got into Flat Earth, you know, the whole Matrix red pill, blue pill thing, that when they got out of it, it's like, oh my God, I gotta tell people. I'm gonna start a YouTube channel, and they did. And it just seemed like the alternatives really weren't there yet. So we lived and breathed on YouTube, which is why I followed the stats as closely. I didn't realize what we were doing until I started playing, look at the numbers, and running the different filters, and we were tracking ridiculously high. Compared to other things, and I understood it. I mean, I'm not going to be so arrogant to say that Flat Earth broke YouTube, because it wasn't just that. YouTube was running into a situation that they couldn't explain away. Do you remember the biggest YouTube guy ever, PewDiePie? You remember that name?
Yeah.
Just this troll. Not even American. How good could he be? Just this troll out of Sweden. Yeah, no, right? We have the best stuff. Come on. And he was this troll out of Sweden, and all he did was make stupid video game videos where he was laughing, just laughing at stuff. But he found the weakness in that he was one of the first early purchasers of social media currency, which was, you know, the offshore account people, mostly Asia, that would sell you. And these are the same companies that would sell you Warcraft gold, you know, the items. And but it's like, oh, yeah, you want hits, you want likes, you want stuff. And so his marketing team started sinking, because YouTube pays you, if you're monetizing on your channel, they pay you for the hits and the likes and the comments and the stuff. So he was taking that some of that money and sinking it back more into subs, which got him more money, which was and it became cyclical.
There's
a problem there, though, because sooner or later you have to turn that off, otherwise the numbers get ridiculous. Meaning it's like, okay, so Katy Perry at the time had 30 million subs. He had 60? He had more than Taylor Swift and Katy Perry, and he wasn't doing anything. And he fooled Hollywood producers to where he I think it was Fox. They grabbed him. It's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna do – he likes doing pranks, even though he really didn't. Scare PewDiePie, and they gave him a show, and nobody watched it. And they're like, why is nobody watching it? Well, because there nobody was real. It was the equivalent of if you're a band, you buy out all the tickets of a stadium and say it's a sold out show. It's like, yeah, technically you're not lying. It's a sold out show, but there's nobody in the seats. So anyway, we exposed all that, and we were the ones that kind of figured out we showed what was real and what wasn't in terms of the legitimate numbers. How's that? Anyway, a little sidebar.
Yeah. It's very interesting, that whole phenomenon. I know exactly what you mean. And it's, to me, it's like a foreign country or something, this YouTube thing, because, like, I see, it'll come out in the news, like, a story about, a famous YouTuber. It's like, I don't even know who that is. Like, who is that person?
No.
But that they act like, you know, that then they have, like, but they say, they're like, they have 25 million followers on YouTube, and it's like, what? How is that even possible?
Well, let me give you a quick stat. Again, watch Fake Famous if you get a chance. There was this great stat where they said something along the lines of there was 100 million people on Instagram that had 100,000 subs or more, right? So basically there was 100 million famous people in the world. And it's like, what? There's like less than 10,000 famous people in the world. In fact, most people couldn't even name 200, let alone – and I'm stretching it when I say 10,000. I'm just ballparking it. So who the hell are these millions and millions of people? They're just people. It's basically what it is. They've learned from we did this. I mean, again, America, I blame you for this. Between the Kardashians and the others, the term – you've heard the term many times, fake it till you make it, which is basically all the people that want to be famous, they have now – they figured out the formula. The formula is you just say you're famous, you post pictures of you on a beach, maybe somewhere, if whether it's real or not. Just say you're somewhere. Take your picture in front of some trees. Say you're at a national park. Take a picture at a hotel pool in the morning. Say, oh, no, I've rented out the entire hotel. Take a picture in a fake jet. And then – and you just – and they're hoping for corporate sponsorships. And it's like, why? Why would you do that? It's like, well, because it beats waiting tables. All these people are trying to, you know, because we've told people that it social media, if you are not crushing it on social media, you're not worth anything. And I pity anyone under the age of 25 right now. Oh, they're in so much trouble.
Life was a lot easier when we were kids. People.
Well, hell yeah. Well,
I'm glad. You know, you think, like, God, what would we be like if we had the internet back when we were kids? But it's like, thank God we didn't, stressful.
Yeah, what I try to tell people, like, I go, look, you want to know who's really, who's legit and who's not? What have they done that's not, you know, have they done anything that's not on the internet? Have they done one of the five forms of art, you know, pictures, sculptures, music, dance, or literature? Have they written anything, you know, like rock stars, for example? They do fine without the internet. I remember I did a thing like I was doing the numbers, and it's like, oh, yeah, Brad Pitt was trending at like 700,000 relevant search results on YouTube back in the day. It's like, he doesn't even have a YouTube channel. Like, how is he trending 700,000? Well, because he was a movie star that's done a whole bunch of things, and people talk about him. It's just so frustrating. the kids are just lost. If you watch the film, you'll see it. But they, you know, back in the day, back when we were growing up, we were asked, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, a pilot, a fireman, a policeman. All these, you know, those are the most glamorous things, you know, you come up with.
Yeah.
Right? Now everyone answers, there's not even a category. It's one thing, and that is, what do you want to be? I want to be famous. It's like, okay.
They want to be influencer, right?
No. They just want to be, well, that's just it. The influencer thing might get them there, but it's like their ultimate goal is, like, I want to be famous. It's like, okay, what do you want to be famous for? What do you want to do? It's like, what do you mean? Well, you got to do something. You can't just be famous. They want what's happened is they want the lifestyle. They're just like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to sip champagne in my lounge chair and have people point at me. I'm like, okay, but you got to do something to get that. I know we're off track here, but let me end this part. There's this great line by Brad Pitt where he's not known for a lot of quotes, but his quote was really good. He goes, you know what the worst part of being an A-list movie star is? He goes, you have to get up every day and go to work. And he was absolutely true. And that is, when you reach that level, you're working harder than anyone. You know, you're constantly, it's like, oh, if I'm not reading scripts, I'm doing this. And of course, you know, you get the perks. You get to go do cool things. But you're working all the time because you know what it took to get there. You know, it's that secret Hollywood thing that all actors really hate each other because they're considered a threat because they had to sit in those hallways and those casting calls and everybody in that hallway. You're hoping to God that something happens. Like, oh, I could just wish them all away. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of a quote I always think of from Bill Murray, where he said, people always tell him they want to be rich and famous. And he says, just set for rich. You don't need the fame. The fame is, that's the pain in the ass part of it all.
Most of the time it is. Because once you reach, talk about hypocrisy of it. Once you reach a certain level of fame, you can't go out anymore.
Right.
You want this fame, but it's like, okay, once you become a full-blown A-lister, why you have to wear sunglasses and a hat just to go to the freaking grocery store. You have to have people get you things because the public that built you this fame, the public that you wanted their adulation, you know, that you wanted them to desire your autograph, it annoys you. And it's so funny. It's like you see Hollywood people, you know, throwing stuff at cars. It's like, leave me alone. Stop taking my pictures. Like, dude, just don't go out in public. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see it. It's like, hide in your mansion. And that's it. But, yeah, but he's right. It's like, take rich. Take the wealth.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Dallas. I had a great time down there. It's that was one of the there was a lot of shit that sucked last year, but one of the big ones was, like, when I left Dallas, I'm like, I'm fucking going to the next I'm going to the next event. I want to hang out with these people again because I enjoyed all the folks down there. You know, they were all very nice people and everything. A handful of colorful characters, but you get that at every event, like we talked about. I loved Tom Hat Guy. I thought he was great. First of all, it was sort of like my heart was broken almost immediately upon returning, because then I went to the website to find out some information about the event and everything, and then it was like, yeah, this was it. We're not doing it anymore. So what happened with the Flat Earth International?
Okay. So the initial – the first three conferences, so it was Raleigh in 2017, Denver in 2018, and Dallas in 2019. They were all done by the same guy. Now, initially, the first conference was it was supposed to be two guys. It was supposed to be Robbie Davidson and Brian Mullen, who was a structural engineer out of South Carolina, which is why the first conference was down in the Carolinas. Unfortunately, I did not know this, but now I do, is that when you become an engineer or a lawyer or what, something that requires a certificate, you are beholden to that profession, that institution. And so once some other engineer who was not a flat earther, I don't know who it was that exactly ratted him out, found out that Brian was co-sponsoring a flat earth conference, he called up the engineer ethics committee and said, yeah, I think you should talk to him. And they called him up, and he had to get a lawyer, and they basically said, you have to distance yourself as quickly as possible. So anyway, Robbie ended up doing it solo, which, you know, with anything, if you have one guy that's running it, he's going to take some liberties. So the first conference actually was a dream by comparison. We were just kind of going through it, and we were happy to be there and happy the media was with us. Denver turned into – that was when Robbie started realizing, it's like, you know what? I can make some money. Because conference promoters, if you play your cards right, you can make money doing this, especially if you're not really paying the speakers a whole lot of money or only paying a few, and you're keeping it really close to the vest as far as who's getting paid and who's not.
Yeah, because the tickets to this event weren't cheap. I mean, it's an interesting conundrum because I can only speak to the Dallas event, but I mean, the tickets weren't cheap, but at the same time, the venue was, well, I mean, you go to some of these paranormal conventions, they're held like in a Knights of Columbus somewhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like like $500 or whatever, but this was like, I was blown away by the venue in Dallas. I'm like, holy shit, this is like a real, this is like first class all the way. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know necessarily if you make any money or you lose money or whatever, but, yeah, it was everything was top-notch.
He kept charging more and more every year, and he got himself his first round of trial. Okay, so it was he got hit 2 years in a row, and that was pretty much the end for him. And he didn't even know. The pandemic, he was not going to do the Vegas conference. But everyone else was going to do the Vegas conference in 2020. So the first one, he told everybody that a celebrity, he didn't even say an internet celebrity. He said a celebrity contacted him and is going to be the guest of honor, and they were a Flat Earth Curious, and they were going to, you know, make a big announcement at the conference in Denver. And he kept it real. Nobody knew. Nobody freaking knew, and no one was going to, and it never got out. And he let the hype just fly to where people at one point we were convinced it was Will Smith or someone, definitely an A-lister, right? That was good, because he was saying, well, they're a musician and they're an actor, and it's like, wow, really? What are we looking at here? And so what happens was we wait, and he is not giving it up. And that night, the night before the conference opened, I remember David Weiss came up to me. He goes, we know who it is. And it's like, because whoever it was didn't show up at the mixer the night before, did not show up. It's like, well, it's Logan Paul. And nobody in the room but me knew who Logan Paul was.
Right.
Logan
That's what I'm talking about, these celebrities, these YouTube celebrities that are like, who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. YouTube celebrity Logan Paul, who basically he's the poor man's version of Jackass. Jackass and Johnny Knoxville did it way better. They did it way earlier, and I'm sorry that they quit, because he was one of those. He's an American internet troll. That's all he does. He's stuck in eighth grade in terms of mentality, and he's just an awful, awful guy. I mean, he's just the worst. I mean, he makes American terrible.
I think we talked about him on the show last time, but yeah, okay, so go on.
Yeah,
so he shows
I,
up and kind of sullies the – yeah, you said you walked out, right?
I walked. I said, and he was going to be on stage before me. He was doing the intro to the freaking show, and I'm going, what are you talking about? I'm opening the show. And he's going, nope. And it's like, holy shit. And Robbie basically let the hype just go through the freaking roof. Forward to the next year.
Okay.
Dallas, right?
This is the one with me in attendance, so I can –
You were in attendance. And in this case, it's like, okay, well, we know now. We tried to learn from our mistakes. And this time, it's like, we're not letting internet celebrities come in. Everybody has to contact us. No secrets. It's like, all right, fine, no secrets. And that's when, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's guys showed up. And then so there was kind of a 1-2 punch there. So Jimmy Kimmel's guy shows up, and a few of our guys were pretty much coming after Rick. I'm sorry, going after Robbie, saying that Robbie knew. That it's like, oh, that Jimmy let him in. It was the same thing like a Logan Paul last year where Robbie was in on the joke and nobody else knew. It's like, all right, well, it's possible. He did it the day before. And then he did I can't remember the name off the top of my head. The comedian.
You talking about the stand-up comedian?
Yeah, the stand-up comedian at the end. Oh, my God, why can't I remember his name off the top of my head?
Owen or something?
Owen Benjamin. Oh, thank God. Yeah, thank
there
you for
you
that. Owen Benjamin. I can't believe his name. I don't really talk to the guy. So Owen Benjamin does his comedic routine on one of those nights. And some of the people in the audience, but again, half of our community are strong Christians, thought it was too off color. And of course, I can't really fault Robbie for that one because, like, look, you knew who he was going to be. You didn't go online and just watch one of his routines. They're all out there. He's not hard to find. And between those two things, that was it. It left too much of a bad taste in people's mouth. I also didn't have a problem with the Jimmy Kimmel thing because, you know, I watched the segment on the show and it's like he gave us a full 7 minutes, 7 minutes on his show. That's right. Mainstream gold. It's like, why the hell would you complain about that? There's people that would love to have that team make fun of us. Like, the only people I was sad about that didn't come after us was Saturday Night Live. But between those two things, that was it. They said, okay, next year, they formed a committee right away, and they said, okay, we're moving this thing to freaking Vegas. Airlines will be cheap. Hotels are going to be cheap. It'll be a blast. People will get to go do fun things outside. It'll be wonderful. And
yeah, it's going to be awesome. I have connections to the Flat Earth community. They were telling me about it,
sure.
And I was making plans to go. So yeah.
Oh no, I think Vegas would have been. In fact, Patricia and I back in 2015 thought we were thinking of doing a conference for 2016, and it was like, yeah, you know what? Let's do freaking Vegas. It's very reasonable, but we couldn't. We put feelers out there, and people thought, no, you know, Vegas is too commercial and it's too deviant, and there's all sorts of bad things happen in Vegas, and it's like, all right, fine. And so that's why the conference in 2016 didn't happen. It's like, all right, fine. So we just did meetups, tons and tons of meetups in 2016. So.
Now, what I noticed when I was there down in Dallas, and we talked about this a little bit before the show started, I guess I just want to know why you think this is the case. But and I've joked about this with people a lot, not even joke, this is true, I laugh about it, is that
yeah. –
You know, so I'm there in Dallas, and I'm putting pictures up of the event. And I'm not even, like, I'm not a flat earther, so I'm not like, hey, this is, you know, they were completely, I don't like to, I'm an entertainer, I'm not a journalist. So I was essentially putting up the pictures, but in a journalistic way, where it's like, here's the ballroom or whatever of the Flat Earth Conference, essentially. So no one way or the other, no ha-ha, isn't this silly, or like, no rah-rah, flat earth. Just here's a picture from the Flat Earth Conference. And within, like, definitely in the first, within minutes, really, but over the course of the weekend, I was just bombarded with people saying the most hateful, vitriolic stuff that I'm not even, like, comfortable repeating in general. Just terrible, terrible things, wishing ill things upon all of the people in Dallas, just all kinds of just cruel and hateful things. And it was like, it kind of clicked into my, like, I got the experience of being a flat earther over the weekend where it was like, shit, these guys get hammered, man. Like, these guys just get hammered. And it's not like,
yeah.
Look, I mean, I know people in all the different communities, so it's like, the people that believe in UFOs, they actually get treated with a lot of respect nowadays because it's so mainstream and popular, UFOs, but that time will pass. But, you know, the worst, you're into Bigfoot, you're into ghosts, you're into UFOs, people kind of laugh at you, you know, think you're kind of wacky or whatever. But, like, if you're into Flat Earth, people, like, they fucking hate you. So, why? First of all, why do you think that is? Like, why? What is it about this conspiracy theory that makes people so angry?
Because it's so polarizing. Because it's the first conspiracy you ever hear about without even knowing it when you're growing up. Meaning, let's give you a quick example. In America, we have a flag in our classroom, right? Something, depending on where you grow up, you say the Pledge of Allegiance to it, so on and so on. And if you go through high school, I mean, that's 12 years of seeing the flag. And there are some people that join the military partially based on staring at that flag and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, year after year after year. The conditioning's always there. Well, usually below that flag in the corner of that classroom is just this little spinning toy globe. That's a huge amount of conditioning. You know, the flag represents, like, oh, yeah, it's my country. That's where I live. That's the earth. That's where I live. You say that for 12 years straight, even though you're not, you know, necessarily vocalizing it, that gets reinforced and burned into your head to where you will have – I'll give you a great example. I don't know if I remember telling you this the last time. When I clicked on my first Flat Earth video back in 2014 – summer 2014, I got a visceral response immediately. I got flushed. I was embarrassed. And I was alone in a room with the drapes pulled, and I got embarrassed. And I'm a veteran internet guy. I've seen a lot of weird naked stuff online, right? Nothing embarrasses me anymore. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not my thing. Change categories. But this... So it's like, I was like, why am I embarrassed? Why am I actually, you know, getting a hot flash because of this? And that's because of the conditioning. We are told it is Orwellian straight up, which is a great example would be the five lights, four lights thing, where if you condition, you know, you just like you set somebody down and you have lights above them. It's like, how many lights are there? And if there's four lights, right? And if they say four lights, you hit them. And you say, no, there's five lights. You do that enough times, they will see five lights eventually, because your mind will eventually force itself into that reality. You tell people, the great line from George Orwell, which he said, he was talking, and I put this quote in the description box of every video I make, which is, he said in 1946, he goes, he was not a flat earther, kind of like you. He goes, you walk up to anybody on the street, you ask them how they know the world's a globe, their first reaction is always the same. It's like, what are you talking about? We know. It's known. It's a given. And then you say, really? How do you know? Then their wheels start to spin, and then they start getting agitated, because then they realize it's not that they know, it's that they've been told. And that's very different things. Because remember, this is 1946 when he wrote this. How does everybody in the world know that it was a globe in 1946? NASA wasn't even founded until 1958. How'd they know? They didn't. Just they were told this, and their parents were told it, and back generations after generation. So that's why people get mad. It's kind of like telling someone – it's just so much layers of indoctrination, they can't escape it. It's like telling somebody after they're 30 that they're adopted, right? Just walking up to somebody, even if they're your friend. Like, yeah,
that's an interesting analogy. Yeah, that makes sense. Right? That's an interesting analogy.
Because
their
first reaction is always going to be, get out of here, BS, no way. And then it doesn't matter to them, but if their wheels start turning enough, what happens is they're not just looking at an idea then, they're looking at an idea back in time to where it's like, wait a minute, who were those people that were at my parents' house? They seemed to really like me a lot. Was there a basket involved? They start, it ripples through time. So when I tell people, it's like, oh yeah, it's something you've been talking, which I talked about in the clues. I say it's something that it's the only thing we debunk to children. You know, we don't tell children about any other conspiracy, anything. But we do tell every freaking child. It's like, oh yeah, we used to think the earth was flat. Now we say it's a globe. Spin, spin, spin here. Where, point on here where you live. And that is a very, very powerful thing. I mean, CIA pays top dollar for that sort of conditioning. And we gave it to everybody for free. And so, yeah, that's why. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It is straight up the five stages of acceptance, the first one being denial, followed by anger, followed by bargaining and depression, and finally acceptance. I run into the dedicated troll channels that have hundreds of thousands of subs now. We've created this little cottage industry of trolls online that go against us. They will be in denial and anger forever because that's what their audience demands. They're not coming out
right.
of it. No way. So,
yeah, there's
yeah,
a lot of vitriol.
Why,
it's pretty eye-opening.
It's the most. There is no other topic that generates that sort of polarization. I don't care if it's gay rights, black rights, women's rights, stem cell research, abortion. It doesn't really matter. No, red team, blue team, nothing generates this sort of – I mean, it's not to where, again, we're only lucky in that people don't come at us directly. You know, you think that a lot of flat earthers get just punched out, right? No, it's because you don't hate the player, hate the game. They're not. It's not that they hate me. For example, I get all sorts of horrible comments in my inbox. They hate the idea. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the one that
right,
threw the
right.
idea out there. I didn't invent flat Earth. None of us did. The flat Earth has been around for a long, long time. So they just don't like wrestling with it. Also, sorry, one more thing. It's the only conspiracy. Every other conspiracy you don't want to look about it or look at it. You don't have to. You don't have to like take whatever conspiracy. I'm not going to rattle them off here. You know what they are. You don't have to look at it. There's secrets that can be kept in the desert, and there's stuff that you don't have to ever think about. It's like, I don't want to look about it. But with this, it's again kind of like the Matrix, where it's like it's telling somebody. It's different from saying, oh yeah, by the way, government's doing creepy things. No, this is saying, oh yeah, by the way, that world that you think you know, you don't. And I remember a caller from back even in 2015, where as an older guy, and he said, how dare you? How dare you tell me the world isn't what I think it is? I was like, yeah, well, there you go. But again, he wasn't. I don't get a lot of follow up where people are, and nobody does. Even Nathan Thompson. You think he would have gotten punched out by now? And he doesn't. but yeah, that's the knee jerk response. People just,
they get really angry. It's pretty wild.
Go ahead.
Good.
No, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is. I gotta have to hit you with a tough question here. Now, this is a really, because this is disheartening. So I'm watching. Sky made a video down in Dallas. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. He looked like the kid from Silicon Valley. And he was, like, interviewing all these people. He's, like, wearing a suit. It got a lot of play. It was a pretty popular YouTube channel.
By the way, I walked in front of him probably half a dozen times and made sure that people in his team knew who I was. He never would talk to me. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, the point being is, the disheartening part is, so he makes the movie, he makes the video, and he interviews a bunch of people. And at the end, he wraps up with, like, a couple of people who drop some pretty anti-Semitic stuff. And it's like, ah, shit, man. And I've heard like people kind of try to intimate that the flat Earth is somehow connected with anti-Semitism and stuff. But I mean, I was there. I was embedded with these people for like 3 weeks, and no one.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 days, excuse me, and no one said. You know,
well,
and there's elements of that,
I think,
in a lot of communities, but maybe I don't know. I'm so. What is the deal with that?
Dallas was different in that the most anti-Semitic person in the room was Owen Benjamin. He is not shy about it, and it comes from a very specific circumstance, meaning he's one of the Hollywood people. He did mainstream movies. He did all sorts of fun things. He knew all sorts of people, and he was exposed to a lot of producer, I don't even know what the word. I don't want to say the word shenanigans because it sounds too light. Producer horribleness. How's that? Producer cruelty, which he dealt with it enough to where he now has he paints it. It's like all producers have to be Jewish, and if they're Jewish, they're horrible, or vice versa. And that is his take on it. And there are a number of people in the conspiracy world that fall into that. It's like, are there a lot of Jewish producers? Yes, there are. Are there a lot of producers that do horrible things? Yes, there are. Does one equal the other? No, it does not. It's just how things work out. I mean, I don't mind saying it. Look, Jewish people have a very keen one of their big traits, one of their top two big traits, is they have a very keen sense of entertainment. They know what works. They know producing, and you combine that with money, and bingo, you got a producer. But power corrupts, always has. And I'm not trying to justify what happens to a lot of people in Hollywood, but it's also a two-sided thing. Whereas you have very desperate people, you know, actors and singers and models that want to make it, they want to make it out there because they're running away from something in most cases. They're trying to escape their lives and it's like, oh, Hollywood, and that'll give it to them. And so you have people come into a room. And on the other side of the room, you have people with money, and you know, the other side, you have people on a couch saying, I will do anything to get this part. And you have people on the other side who are, yeah, you know what? I'll take you up on that. Not only that, I'll promise you and the next 20 people in that hallway the same damn thing. And it just escalates, and it turns into a horrible thing. Owen was in the middle of that, and he told stories about the awful stuff that happened out there, and it's still happening out there.
He wasn't the one in the video. These were a couple of attendees. What I'm trying to get at is I hear Flat Earth linked to anti-Semitism a lot, and I've never really – I don't really see it. So to me, if I thought this was some kind of anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, I wouldn't – be even covering it because that's abhorrent. I don't do neo-Nazis and shit. I don't have people like that on my show, so I wouldn't do that either.
It's not directly linked in any way, shape, or form. There are, of course, in any group, you're going to have some anti-Semitic people. One of the early ones, the one that dogged us for a while, but it ended up working itself out naturally, was Eric Dubé. He was one of the early Flat Earth guys, and he made a video I think it was in 2015, called, it was 4 hours long, and it was just didn't make any sense. I mean, he did like 30 Flat Earth videos in a row, and all of a sudden he makes a 4-hour video that said Adolf Hitler versus the Jew World Order. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, put that on another channel, put that on something. And eventually it drew the attention of the censors, and his channel got burned down, and he got another channel, did the same thing, got burned down. In fact, he was supposed to be in the documentary, the Behind the Curtain.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a number of producers over the last 6 years, and all I have to do when they ask me about him, I am not shy about saying it because I do not want them to. I don't want anyone to sneak up, and I don't want the impression that, you know, you and I are kind of talking about here, where I say, look, I go, it doesn't really happen very often, but every once in a while we will run into an anti-Semitic person. Eric is one of those people, and as soon as I say that. That's it. There's no discussion. They're like, oh,
right.
Yeah, okay, he's off. He's not on the list.
Exactly.
In fact, I sent messages to people that he knew. I said, look, he will never – in fact, there was a producer out of True Television New York. She told me – you know, she wanted him tapped as well. And she goes, will you tell him? She goes, she will never be able to do anything if he doesn't, you know, backtrack from that immediately. And he never did. So I was like, all right, the Flat Earth community, we don't care. We don't discriminate in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I made a video.
Let me just stop you, Mark. We can go. It let us go over the hour and talk. We're going to lose live audience. You can go a little longer.
Oh, okay. I can go on a little longer. Sure.
All right. Cool. I didn't mean to stop your train of thought, but certainly got the impression from talking to people that, like. Like the best way I can put it to the audience is like they didn't seem to really care about anything but the Flat Earth. So I would try to get opinions on the upcoming election, about UFOs, about Bigfoot. It's like about QAnon, and most people there, like almost everybody I talked to, they just didn't give a fuck about anything but the flat earth. So that I didn't get any sense of, like, there didn't seem to be any political bent to this. There didn't seem to be any really. I mean, there was a like sort of a Christian root to it because a lot of folks seem to believe that it came from the Bible, but it wasn't like a hostile thing. It was just like, just people were super religious.
It's like the first conference we had, the promoter, Robbie, he got grief on both sides because after the conference was over, and that's how you knew he did it right, because half of the community said it was too religious and the other half said it wasn't religious enough. So when we did Denver and I think Dallas too, definitely Dallas, there were two stages, if you remembered. One had
yes.
more of a Christian side of it and the other one didn't. Because it was like, yeah, we're just not going to mix the two. We're just going to let people figure this one out for themselves. But no, it's a very, very upbeat community, and most of them, yeah, don't like talking about anything else if they can help it. It tends to lean Republican, just so you know, but that is also tied to the evangelical Christian side of things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but then again, I have talked to, you know, the flat earthers that are in the closet, most of them are Democrats for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's funny. We really didn't politics like never really came up, which is shocking because in like 2019, in this day and age, like if politics doesn't come up, it's like, how the fuck do you even avoid talking about politics? But like it almost never ever came up, so that was one of the things that was really like, well, that's weird coming home from it.
Well, I also remember that in 2019 everybody thought that Trump was just going to get reelected, so it's like, why do we care? It's like, there's nobody thought in a million years like who you got running up gonna run against him. And even in the beginning of 2020, no one's like, no wait, 2020 or 2019? The election
was late 2019 when we were in Dallas.
Yeah, late 2019. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah.
Now this is sort of an interesting question. I'm sure you get this all the time. I maybe even asked it to you last time you were on the show. We're out of the heady waters now. So we're wrapping it up. So I don't know if you saw this. So this guy in Scotland, he's irritated with his flat earth friends. So he starts a GoFundMe to buy a seat on like the Virgin thing to send someone into space, you know. And he's going to he says, I don't even know. I haven't checked in on it since he did this. But he launched a GoFundMe and he wanted to send a prominent flat earther to space. This is why maybe you've heard of this. Would you take him up on the offer? And I guess the second part of that question is the question I'm sure you get a lot, which is like, what would it take to convince you that the Earth is in fact round or spherical or whatever?
First, I am intimately involved in the first part of this, which is the television team, the Phil and Holly show, that had me over in the beginning of 2020. They contacted me not even maybe a month ago. And they said, I think I still have the emails, where they said, hey, this guy in the UK is trying to do a GoFundMe to do the whole Virgin Galactic thing. Would you be willing to go? And I said, yeah, of course I'd be willing to go. It's never going to happen, but you can try all you want. And I wasn't trying to be a naysayer necessarily. What I was saying was that Virgin Galactic, out of the three companies, private companies out there, Virgin Galactic, Blue Horizon, and, of course, SpaceX, Virgin Galactic is not doing anything. I mean, they're just blowing things up. People are dying. You know, test pilots are dying. And so, and yet he's still selling tickets at $250,000 a pop for something that's never, ever going to happen. But, yes, of course. Of course they would do it. Now, is there something that you could do other than putting me into space, which they're never going to allow it to happen ever, people have asked me that over the last few years.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's two things you can do. One's actually pretty cheap, and the other's even cheaper. One is take a 4K camera, put that on the top capsule of any rocket that's going to leave orbit, anything that's going to leave orbit, and point it down at the ground and let that sucker run. And you will see eventually the landscape will morph into a globe and it will leave, which should have been done during like the Tesla Roadster in space, which they just cut the transmission. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to head this way. And cameras off. It's like, why'd you cut the cameras? It's whatever. So that's never happened in the history of space travel, by the way, that footage you're talking about. Statistically, stunning to me that no one's figured that out yet, that there is no footage of any camera that's leaving orbit for any reason. But the other one's even easier. which is because somebody said, well, is there anything you can do on the ground that could, and it's like, oh, some laser tests, some boat tests. And I'm like, no. All you have to do for me is give me the challenge I put out for at least 3 years, maybe even more, and they just gave up because no one was going to do it, which is the vacuum chamber test, which is no spacesuit has failed in the history of anything, right? Also statistically unlikely. Loan me a spacesuit. Don't have to give it to me. Loan me a spacesuit. If you want to do it on NASA property, that's fine. Put me in a vacuum chamber. Pull the switch. Tell me what happens. And by that, I mean, what magical property is in that backpack that we saw? And, you know, none of this tethered G-force pilot stuff. What's in the backpack that compensates for the pressure difference between what we're breathing in and a zero molecule area? It doesn't exist. Like, there is no. It completely goes against the law of thermodynamics. Thermodynamics says that you cannot have pressure next to non-pressure without some sort of barrier. And if it's a soft barrier, it's going to go absolutely rigid. The astronauts should have turned into a parade float and just tipped over and then burst and died. And it never, ever happened. So I don't need to go to the moon. I need to go to space. Just put me in a vacuum chamber. And here's the thing. This is why they'll never do it, because I figured out a way to prove it would cost $4. Because you could put somebody in a chamber, you pull a lever, make some noise. It's like, wow, you're in a vacuum chamber now. It's like, no. Now, to prove you're in a vacuum chamber, all you need is one of three things. One is just a little balloon that's partially inflated. That thing will blow up super rigid and detonate. Two would be just a glass of tap water, just sitting in a glass. Just put it on, because tap water will start to boil when it's in a vacuum. And three is a bell, and you know the test from long, long ago, and that is a bell, once you suck the air out of the chamber, doesn't make any sound because the sound can't go anywhere because it's not actually vibrating, nothing's carrying through. The part that, again, one of the reasons why this has never resonated with anyone outside of our community is because most people don't even understand what a vacuum is. It's like, what we're breathing in right now, what you're talking in, is kind of a soup. Now, it's barely nitrogen, there's barely oxygen. It's 20% oxygen and 80% nitrogen. And, but we can't see it. It's invisible to our spectrum. But if you show somebody a vacuum chamber, from our eyes, it looks identical. So, which is why they get away with what they get away with. I mean, look up, you know, astronaut in a vacuum chamber. You'll find almost nothing. In fact, the number one video, if I think it's still there, is James May, one of the guys from Top Gear, in a G-force suit. There should be thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of astronauts training in vacuum chambers. That's what you'd want to do. You'd want to train use a suit. They train in a swimming pool. Well, that's the exact opposite. Pressure is coming in from the outside. Well, why would you train? Well, because it's got this floaty feel, and you want them to practice the floaty thing. I go, where does the floaty feel exactly happen? On the space station, I understand, but definitely not on the moon. Remember, sorry, go off track here for a second. This gets tied into the vacuum chamber thing. When you're on the moon, supposedly it's 1/6 Earth's gravity. Of course, how did you find that out? With what? I'm not sure. But if that was the case, a 180-pound man would weigh 30 pounds. So why is he moving in slow motion? If anything, he'd be moving in fast motion. He'd be moving very, very quickly. His muscles would be extremely efficient. In fact, it'd be feats of strength. He could have a vertical leap of, I don't know, 5-6 feet, at least, even if he was white. And so what the hell? And anyway, all these things, no. Sorry, vacuum chamber test. That's the short answer. You want to prove it to me? Get a university. There's a whole bunch of them all over the place. Never going to happen. They're going to let me do it.
All right. Now, what – I guess here we are, May 2021. As I said to you, I get the feeling things are – kind of slowing a little down for the flat earth. You probably disagree. That's fine. We disagree on a lot of things. But what's the state of this community here now? Now we're a lot more, it's fair to say we're pretty much post pandemic, as far as like being able to travel and stuff. Do you foresee more meetups? Is there going to be another event? What's exciting you right now about, do you see any new developments or innovations or rising stars here in the flat earth field?
No. And the reason why is nothing to do with the topic. The topic is still, in my opinion, is as good as it's ever been. I mean, there's the people that have been reaching out to me recently have been pretty huge. However, it's the conspiracy world at large which is in trouble. It's not just flat earthers. And by that, I mean something we were talking about earlier. The conspiracy world, at least our side of it, you know, have hardcore conspiracy people, they're not going to take the shot. So if they don't take it, what happens moving forward? Meaning, are all of a sudden they are lumped in, meaning the stereotype and the label that's going to be thrown on us is going to be, you know, tied to anti-vax and all the other fun stuff. And, yeah, conferences are going to be tough. I won't be able to travel internationally. I know this already. It's going to be almost impossible. Traveling domestically is going to get tricky soon. People in corporations, they, just because the things were released, you know, opened up today, you know, with the CDC's, oh, yeah, everything's fine. If you're vaxxed, you're absolutely fine. Well, the corporations, it's going to be very, very different. Try getting a hospital procedure if you don't have the shot. Try going to on an international flight. Try, you know, getting your kids to go to school without the shot. I don't want to end necessarily on a down note, but it's a real concern, which is the flyers community and the conspiracy world is in a real weird crossroads right now.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I'm not down at all because I already got the shot, so I'm fine with it.
And that's fine.
It's
totally fine. I'm just saying that our group won't. So what happens? What happens to us? It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, happy days, and we're going to – I mean, once the identification becomes standardized, we will be voluntarily become second-class citizens. So, yeah, it's not going to be the same for us. But, again, it's not just us. It's the whole conspiracy community. They're all going to be...
Well, it's everybody who isn't going to get the vaccine, pretty much. I guess, in a sense, it's like... Look, I get you probably have some misgivings about this vaccine, and I'm sure you could rattle them off, and that's... I get what you're saying, okay?
Yeah.
I get that you feel that way. But to me, it's like, I just want to be a part... I just want to fucking not have to deal with all that shit, man.
Right.
You know? And look at Mark. I don't know what kind of lifestyle you lead, but, like, the shit I've put in my body over the fucking last 42 years, you know? Just give me the fucking jab. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm like 40 something. How much longer am I gonna live anyway? I don't want the fucking hassle of it all. You know what I mean?
I hear you. No, my big thing. Most of the conspiracy world will do it for various medical reasons. For me, it is. But believe it or not, even though I've rattled off a whole bunch of stuff to you, it is strictly religious. It is something I have been waiting, and I really was hoping it wasn't going to happen in my lifetime. But it is the whole buy or sell without the mark, Revelation 13, straight up. I've been kind of looking out the corner of my eye for since I was 6 years old. And so, you know, it's just my personal opinion.
I hear you.
It's just one of those things. So, but anyway, sorry, to get back to the thing, if you're asking, it's like, oh, upcoming stars, what's going to happen to the flat earth? It's like, kind of like what Biden said about the Republican Party. I don't know what's going to happen to the whole conspiracy world soon, because they are going to, you know, the more they dig in their heels, the more they're going to have the label on them. And so it's like, all right, it's going to get worse before it gets better. How's that?
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. You know.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I see what you're saying about the religious thing, but my attitude about that and a lot of the things is like, oh, they're going to chip us and everything. It's like, look, dude, like you said earlier, like more people have cell phones than clean water. Like, what do you fucking think the cell phones are? That's the chip. Mm-hmm. That's the chip. They got everybody to just take the chip. They got people to pay for the chip. They got people to want the chip. You have to upgrade the chip every 2 or 3 years. Like, it's already happened. They already have chipped us. The idea of sticking it in your skin is not palatable right now. Maybe they will eventually convince people. Look, I predicted, like, you know, remember that, like, Pokemon Go thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
where you'd go around with your phone and you'd fucking look around with it and you'd see, like, little Pokemons, on the park bench or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, that to me was like, that was the litmus test where it's like, okay, now if this thing, they're going to sort of try to make this more, and eventually it's going to be like, well, no, you can just get the thing in your eye and it'll be easier or whatever. Like, I think there has to be some kind of – it's going to take a long time for people to want to stick shit in their body. But right. They're not certainly trying to prepare us for it. But as far as, like, the sort of the very basic ideas of, like, you can't buy or sell without the thing and all that, it's like they've pretty much already got all that with the trying to like live a life without a cell phone, try to be a part of society without it. It's very difficult.
I hear you. But again, I'm more of a stickler when it comes to this. I've seen too much writing on the wall, and again, I'm in the minority because most of the people in the Christian community they believe the reason why the churches haven't been, other than there really hasn't been church for the last year. The reason why the church hasn't taken more of a stand on this is because just about every church in the Christian side of things is told that they don't have to worry about it because that's all because the rapture, probably heard about that, the rapture would happen before this happened. And it's like, so now it's like, well, yeah, but what if it doesn't? You know, it's like, well, you don't have to worry about that, you know, the plagues and all this stuff, because you'll be raptured beforehand. It's called pre-tribulation. Mm-hmm. And so now the argument is like, well, what if that timeline's wrong? You know, then what? Do you have a backup plan? Nobody had a backup plan. So now the Christians are in massive denial. It's like, all right, if I have to stand alone on this one, I'm totally fine. But I can only tell you that most of the people that aren't getting the shot right now do not hold the same beliefs I do. It's strictly for other things,
medical type stuff. Things. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I have no concerns about the matter. To me, it's just like, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just sort of like, fuck it. That's what I said to the guy when he gave me the shot. He's like, ask me all the questions. Then he's like, are you ready? And I'm like, fuck it, let's do it. Let's do it, man. I want to be,
sure.
You know, people, I'm sure, I don't know if this will be on your YouTube channel or whatever, but like, I'm sure people who are your fans and who follow your stuff might be like, this guy, he just goes along to get along. It's like, yeah, man, sure. You know, I don't need the hassle of it all.
I made a series of videos along these lines, and it's actually perfectly natural reaction, which is, and I said, it's like, look, they will say, look, you're going to get your life back if you do this. And you have to make a choice. And if you want your life back, hey, great. Let's have your life back. I'm not ruling those dice, but then again, my motivation is different. So who knows? You know, maybe you're right in the end, and you'll have the last laugh. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not like telling people, hey, you have to do it or whatever. It's just like, at the end of the day, you know, it's like, why not? Just do it. Life's too short. That's kind of my attitude. You know, it's raging against the machine is tiring, dude.
It can be. No,
you know,
no question.
It's like these people, like the folks, I get it. People like, oh, you know, a mask is a symbol of compliance. It's like, yeah, dude, but so's fucking wearing shoes when you go into the 7-Eleven. Like, just follow, like, society changes. You can't, you know, you can't just put a shingle up in your front window, and now you're a bookstore or whatever. You got to get a license for everything under the sun. It's like, that's just it. Things change, man. You know, all of a sudden it was like, now you got a seatbelt, you got to wear a seatbelt. It's like, the same thing happened with seatbelts. You're like, I ain't fucking wearing a seatbelt. You can't tell me what to do. It's like, hey, everybody, you know, a lot of people still don't wear seatbelts, but, you know, a lot of people do.
I get the seatbelt thing. I do. It's actually a pretty good reference. I like that one.
Yeah. You know, so to me, when it's like, oh, you got to wear a mask in the store, it's like, well, fuck, I got to wear a shirt and shoes, you know, so I guess this is the new thing. So it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Americans are so vain. I'm surprised more people didn't just take to the mask because they could put all kinds of designs and slogans and all kinds of shit on it.
They did.
Well, they have. I know.
They tried. The problem was that it's still For the really vain people, you couldn't really tell what they looked like. And you're like, all right, I mean, yeah, I see your eyes, but I have no idea what your nose and your mouth looks like. And so facial expressions went out the window. You know the people I felt bad for were the lip readers. They were stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the deaf people that spent all that time learning how to lip read, and then it's like, oh, man, Now what do I
Yeah. Well, in those sentences, a lot of in places where, you know, they need more deaf accessibility, I think they switch to, like, these transparent shields and shit and stuff. And
I would think...
I, even though you said you were, I'll let you go soon, man. I'm just enjoying the conversation. But, like, I understand what you're saying. The pandemic wasn't scary enough for you. But to me, it was like, it certainly was like a sight to behold. Just seeing this sort of movie play out, you know, whether you believe it's real or not, it's like this happened. This all happened.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And like...
it was a spectacle, no question. But I am a huge movie fan, and it's like, all right, you got the scary music, and but eventually, you know, the scary music, you know, something's got to come out of the closet eventually, and all you, you know, I didn't see enough. It wasn't enough for me, and that made me. I may seem callous when I say that, but it's not what I'm trying to come off as. Like, look, I just didn't see enough shock and awe. I would have done it. Okay, remember, I'm for the greater good. Sometimes I can play the black hat. If I was the black hat, I would have made it way more scary than this. But maybe there's a bigger plan. Maybe the think tank that they used to create this was, you know, had some other goal in mind. Not sure yet. We'll see.
All right. Well, I can't get it. They say, well, I could technically, it's still like a 10%, but I hope you don't get it, man, because then you'd have a completely different attitude. Because I know, I mean, I don't know, I know you said you knew people that died, but have you met anyone who got it? Because, I mean, I've talked to plenty of people who got it, and they fucking were laid out, man, for like at least 2 or 3 weeks. It's not a, you know, it's not like a walk in the park.
Well, again, you know, when we went to the conference last, the Flattoberfest last October, down in South Carolina, we had, 600 people there? And there wasn't, including the staff, there wasn't a mask to be found. And all day, you know, hugs and kisses and all this fun stuff, you know, wasn't any orgies or anything. But, you know, the only thing, I caught a little cold on the way back because of the plane. By the way, that's a little inside joke for business travelers. And that is when you walk in the plane, if you see 2 or 3 guys sniffling, you're like, ah, crap, I'm going to get whatever they got because the plane doesn't filter anything. But no. I mean, I haven't gotten anything, and I've hung out with people. I wear a mask every once. Well, now I won't have to, but I wear a mask every once in a while if I go to a store that requires it. But for the most part, you know, I'm in an area in a rural community where it's like we just don't care. And it's like, again, because the shock and awe. That's how I would have changed it. Where it's like, look, until the guy at the gas station dies, or the person that does your nails or something is like, eh. That's scary because that's when people you've heard the thing when it hits close to home or too close to home.
Right. Well, that's what
people,
I mean. That's why I was asking if you knew anyone who actually got it.
Well, that's just it. The only person that I knew that got it again. This
was your uncle.
The line out of. Well, yeah, this is the line out of the Joker, the Batman thing, where he goes when a gangbanger dies or a truckload of soldiers die, no one gets scared because it's all part of the plan. You know, but in this case, look, my uncle was pushing 90, had a stroke, and pneumonia. It's like no one expected him to live anyway, so there was no surprise at all. No one's been surprised. I don't even know anyone. And remember, I ask people all the time in my circle. It's like, does anyone know anybody? And it's like, nope. It's like, all right, fine. So, but again, we will see how this plays out, which is why I think we're in the eye of the storm right now. What's going to come on the other side of this? That's what's going to be really gonna be fun. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, I'm part of the haves, so I don't really give a fuck.
Nice.
Sorry, I had to. Is there going to
anyway,
be another gathering?
Yeah.
Does Karen do them now?
Karen's doing them now. So, yeah, there'll be a Flattoberfest down in South Carolina in October. Right now, at least, we're slated to get it. We'll see if anything changes as far as venues or anything like that. There's regional meetups. I've gone to a couple around here within driving distance. And there'll be one up here on my island next month. But as far as the big ones, there's only one big one scheduled. And then, again, as far as anything international, can't do those. So the international ones are going to be, because those will have to be regional too. So we'll have to see.
All right. So people can find you on YouTube, right? And that's probably your hub, right, over at YouTube.
Yeah, just type in. That's the only place I am. I'm not on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. I've never had a Facebook page. Never. I've never even sent a text. Just type in Flat Earth Mark. Yeah, I know, right? Flat Earth Mark into YouTube, and you will find me. And or if you type again, you can type in Flat Earth Clues. You'll
just Mark
find
Sargent. That's how I found it today.
Oh yeah, Mark Sargent. Works too.
Yeah. So. And you got books up on Amazon, right?
Yeah, books on Amazon, Flat Earth Clues, Sky's Limit, Flat Earth Clues, End of the World, and a survival book on what to do if America goes down the tubes. And the podcast on True Frequency Radio. So, yeah, I shouldn't be hard to find. And if anyone wants to reach out and talk to me, all my contact information is in the description box of every single video I make.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming on the show and giving me the extra time and everything and having a pretty frank conversation. That's what I like about you. You don't really dance around shit. You're willing to answer anything I throw at you, so it's I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm getting old too, so. Anyway,
oh,
thank
man.
You. If you need
well,
any other
tell
resources,
you what,
or anything, go ahead.
Even though she scares me, I'm hoping that Karen will let me come to Flattoberfest. So,
good.
I'll
put a good word for you. Sure.
All right. I'll probably pop on your show sometime next time you're on, or not next time you're on, but sometime when you're on, I'll probably call in and say hello. But yeah, if there is a Flattoberfest in October, I'm going to be down in Nashville for an event. So who knows in October. So hopefully they don't overlap. But if they don't, I'm going to try and make it to Flattoberfest. Sounds like fun.
Cool, man.
All right, man.
All right.
Have a good night, and thanks again for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. See ya.
Good night.
Bye.
There you go, folks. That was Mark Sargent, Flat Earth Clues. We got less into – we kind of delved off of Flat Earth a lot there, but that was interesting. That was interesting. I think everybody listening to the show knows how I feel. I mean, I had a 10-part special series on the pandemic, so obviously, I believe it was scary enough for me. Let's put it that way. It was scary enough for me. So what's next? I don't have any idea. I got a couple of people in mind, maybe, for next week. Kind of flying by the seat of my pants a little bit, trying to stick the landing on these return guest episodes. So maybe, maybe we should have a show next week. I couldn't tell you who I'm going to get in touch with. I will say that I'm kind of tired of UFOs because I love talking to Adam and Jack and Aaron, but it was like three straight UFO shows. And UFOs are just everywhere right now, and it's like, I'm UFO'd out, man. That's why I really wanted to get Mark on tonight, too, because it was like, let's get as far away from Tic Tac videos and TTSA and Lou Elizondo and 60 Minutes and Jacques Vallée and Paula Harris and their new book. And it's like it's just, I'm overwhelmed with UFO stuff right now. It's like, No, thank you. So who knows? Maybe a ghost person next week or a Bigfoot person or somebody outside the realm of UFOs, I hope. But you never know. If Jacques Vallée calls me up and says he wants to talk about his new book, I suppose I'll have him on the show. Because it's returning guests only, so. But, yeah, and as I said last week, I got my eye on sort of the summertime and a fresh slate of guests, newcomers to the show. So that's kind of in the works. But I'm trying to sort of navigate closing out this little mini season and then rolling into summer I'm gone too long now. Summer of Strangeness 2021. Check out Banal of America, the website. We usually post the guest information for that night on the Friday morning. And also we announced it on social media on Friday morning as well. So, yeah, Banal of America on Facebook, Banal on Twitter, and Banal of America, the website. If you haven't figured it out yet, yeah, that's where you'll find out what's going on. Friday morning or Friday afternoon sometimes I announce who the guest will be. I should start doing that earlier, but, I mean, there's a lot of shit I should be doing better here on this show. So just be happy that we're still rolling out episodes at this point. So, with all that said, I'll have a few cocktails, take a look at the old Banal of America Rolodex, make some calls, and, yeah, we'll see who wants to hop on the mothership next week on Banal of America. Until then, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.